Good morning. It's a pleasure to see everybody here. Everybody present here is always good to be with brethren and sisters, and especially this morning of as we worship our God, Lord and Creator, together as well. Before I start, I have a couple things to pass along. I need to get your surveys, please, from the last leaders, so that way we move forward in doing things for the kids and what the interests. I just had a conversation with them, and they told me what their interest was. So please, if you're able to do that, now I need what I need from you. It's members that are able to do that and willing to do that, be part of it as well, too. Because, you know, like any other thing in life, and even though in the sport world, you know, you have your coaches, right? But what makes it successful are the team players and the people that are involved in the thing. So I need you to consider that as we move forward on those important things, you know, in a spiritual manner in life as well. Two, one other thing I mentioned earlier a couple months about the youth conference, Challenge Youth Conference, which is in Pigeon Forge, on February 24 and 26, that's coming pretty soon here. We're in November, so remind you of there's a early bird registration, which is a $35 fee. And what I was told by the elders was to, if you were planning to attend, let me know, and then you can write the check. You can write it to the church and put it in the offering there, and then be specific of what it is for. And we're so grateful that a family had sponsored or has had sponsored for us to have a cabin up there, and it does have the capability of sleeping 30 people. So we need to, know, and we need to fill those out, and, you know, things as everything comes coming fast at us. So, and I need to know so I can go in and register, because after December, that early fee, it goes to $45. So, you know, and then I need to know, that way I can say, do we have any Church of Christ? How many people are going, and, you know, and stuff like that. And again, these are things for us to consider, and as we grow and consider, you know, the many things. I know there had been a lot of things thrown at us, a lot of changes thrown at us, which is good, but these are things that help us look forward into building the church, and to building our youth, and to caring for our youth. So I know sounds repetitive, but we need to, keep that in mind. And what is more, what most important thing than for us to, dedicate the time and given the spirit in the spiritual sense to our kids and our family at whole. But as well, yeah, I need you to let me know about that, please. And, you know, there's many things as well. I need to know about the last leaders as soon as possible, so we'll move forward on that as well. And again, the end of the month, we'll go at the youth traveling will be at Bartle Vincent, so please consider that. Make sure you have plans. Consider that. It's the end of the month, and I'll be here too as well, provide transportation. So many things. Yes, it's overwhelming. A lot of things going at it. So I need you to consider that as well, and to think about those things that are happening in locally in our congregation, and to help, you know, with the youth as well. And like I said again, we're not successful unless the players are there, and, you know, and the coaches and players, and then would make the whole game, you know what I mean? In the spiritual sense, you know what I mean? We want to strive to what the Lord wants us to do as well. Jamie's not able to be with me today because of she's actually last week she was sick, and today my little one ended up with pink eye, so you know it's going around. So she's at home with him, so that's why you didn't see her today. So please keep them on their prayers as well, so he can recuperate and you know be able to go back to normalcy. Now, let us consider something in character building. Let us consider an example, or Jesus as our perfect example, in character in the making. You know, in life, we aspire to. We look at people. We try to be ourselves, you know, aligned with people. We have some people in mind, special people, maybe our parents, or we look at somebody else that done things, you know, and we look at the characteristics and the things that they do, and you know that create value, you know, even when we're in funerals. We get to talk about the character of that person and how they were and things that they did in life and then how impactful things are. So I'd like us to look at that in the character in the making, Jesus as our perfect example. If you would, our text comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. If you would, let us turn our Bibles there if you haven't turned to it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29, which reads as follow. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden for ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to the working which works in me mightily. So we see the Apostle Paul pointing at things that in the characteristic of the character of Christ Jesus. And that's what we need to be. In that character, we need to look at what Jesus, the characteristic of Jesus Christ in our lives as Christians that we are. You know, like I said, as we learn about somebody, the things that he had done, the many characteristics of themselves, that's in a human sense. But we haven't looked in a spiritual sense. We need to examine the life, and we need to learn to examine the life of Christ. Jesus, as we know, was the perfect man. Hebrews 4:15 remind us, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was at all points tempted as well as as we are, yet without no sin. Again, perfect. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see the characteristics of Christ being there, the ultimate characteristics in the character making, and that's what we need to strive for. If we are to make it to heaven, if we are going, we need to take effort on it, and we need to look at it and realize the importance of it. At Philippians 2:12 tells us, therefore, my beloved, the Apostle Paul is speaking here, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that effort consists of allowing Jesus to live in us. So as Christians, the focus in my life, the characteristics in my life, and the character making is Christ in my life. How do I impact others? How do people see me Christ-like? Again, Colossians 1:27 reminds us, as our text, that to them God willed to make known what are the riches of this glory and the mystery of among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of our glory. That's our glory. That's our hope, Christ. And again, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Galatians 2:12, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I know, live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, we see that enormous character that we can find in Christ Jesus, that we need to assimilate as Christians, that we need to examine in our lives. So let us examine what our lives should reflect. I got three things that we can look at in our lives should reflect Jesus. That we reflect to others as well. I got three things. First of all, our lives should reflect servitude. Matthew 26:20-28, we see that yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become greater among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not came to be served, but serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we see the servitude there of Jesus Christ, that he came for others. He wasn't thinking about himself, but he knew that the ultimate plan was to save man and to save man from the sins. So he shows his servitude. Acts 20:35 reminds us as well, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak, and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. See, we need to be in that mentality of always giving, not expecting something back in return. If I do this, when I'm going to get this. We always need to be in that mentality of, you know, we're blessed to do things, so we're going to do it and not expecting anything in between or anything in back, as we can see pointed here in Acts. Sometimes, you know, people were glorified on their giving. You know, people would want to be public. You know, sometimes anonymous giving has become a, you know, forgotten art of here in Matthew chapter 6, that your charitable tells to us that your charitable deeds may be in secret, and your Father who sees it in secret will himself reward you openly. See, in other words, it gives us a characteristics of, you know, if we're doing something, let it not be public. Let it not be, you know, a whole banner of, you know, things that I've done or you know, whatever the case might be. But we know that there is somebody that keeps track of that. There is somebody that there is God that knows my heart and knows the way I'm doing things, and he's the one that's the ultimate rewarder. Again, we need to realize within that servitude, our life should reflect the servitude. We need to live our lives as a humble servant, expecting nothing but knowing you will gain everything. Luke 17, 7 through 10 gives us that or reminds us of that. Like, you know, we know that the text is talking about the person, you know, being the servant, that you're not expecting somebody to, you know, come in and say, let's say I had a servant or something, that you say to him, hey, sit down and eat, or, you know, eat with me, when they know that they're serving you and they're doing what they need to do. But they know that in a sense of, you know, I don't need to be reminded of these things as well. So we need to live our lives as a humble servant, expecting nothing, knowing that we will gain everything again. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, we see another act of Jesus that was washing the disciples' feet. Back in those days, you know, they walked miles and they used sandals, and that was customary of the day to wash the people's feet. And then again, he's right there reminding them of the service that needs to be done. That yes, he was their master. The point in him doing that is for them to learn that he was not above or below them, but he was there with them, and that they needed to show that servitude, that they needed to be that service-minded, oriented disciples as well, and that they knew that if Jesus did that example, that they were following the pattern, following what Jesus had told them or what Jesus had taught them. So as Christians, we need to realize, again, to be service-oriented, because as in building as a character, as we see the character of Christ, we see that he reflects servitude in our lives. We see that he reflects servitude in every aspect of life. Secondly, our lives should reflect mercy. Our lives should reflect Matthew 23:23, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Here, Jesus in Matthew 23, speaking to the Pharisees here, telling them that they were hypocrites because they were focusing mostly on the things that they were not supposed to, you know, on, you know, making the tradition of bringing Matthew 23:23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes in mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So in other words, they were just thinking that, you know, with doing all these things and making tithes, I'm just following what the, you know, according to the book, I'm just following what the law says, and I'm fine with that. But again, the important thing that Jesus is trying to tell them is, you know what, there's weightier matters than that, than just going by the book and, oh yeah, this is good enough for me. This is a list I'm doing. Yes, yes, check, 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 check. And that's good. You know, I'm just following that. He's telling them there's more important things than that. You know, you're missing the point there that the weightier matters of the law. Yes, you're following the law with the Pharisees. But yeah, you're missing the justice and the mercy and the faith. You know, and we need to understand that as Christians, we should be merciful. We should be exemplify that in our lives as Jesus has taught them. You know what I mean? We cannot just dismiss some aspect and just pick and choose what we're going to do, but we need to understand that there's a whole things that we need to build on as Christians. So we need to understand that, you know, the weightier matters of justice, mercy, and faith that we need to think about, that we cannot overlook what Jesus had set to us to do. So we need to be merciful. We need to, whenever approaching people, whenever we talk to people, we need to open our hearts and try to figure out, you know, the things that they struggle with, but with mercy and you know, the understanding. And I know sometimes that's a little bit difficult because sometimes we already come judge the person before. But that's our next aspect, our next point on that. We'll look here further down a little bit. Even we see at Jesus, we see in Luke 23:24, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast. So even at the suffering, even hanging in the cross, Jesus had mercy towards them and prayed that, you know, that they were forgiven of what they were doing. Romans gives us an example as well. Romans 7, 5 through 7. Again, the design of this verse and the following is to illustrate the great love that God, the great love of God, by comparing it with what man was willing to do exactly. Romans chapter five, verse 7-8 tells us, "For scarcely for the righteous man will no one die, but yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." So there was no exception. There was no exception. You know, he demonstrated that love towards us, that, you know, that you know, even in our state of mind and even in our state that we are as sinners, God still sent Christ to die for us. Another reminder of that mercy of God is Micah 7:18. Woe is a God like you. Who is a God like you? Pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. So again, we see we have a merciful God as well. We see that exemplified in Christ as well. The mercy and mercy that he in his character and his character that he shows to us as well. So as Christians, we need in our character building, we need to have mercy, and we need to demonstrate that and reflect that. Thirdly, our lives should reflect the victory over prejudice. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So there's no exception. See, the Lord loved everybody. The Lord demonstrated that love again. He wasn't looking at a specific race or a specific, chosen people or the Israelites, or he was not going. He just showed his love to the whole world, to his own creation. To his own creation, he shows his love. We see as well Jesus, how he treats the poor. J- Do you see the example of how he treats the outcast, the physical, the formed and foreigner and the sinner the same? Jesus was not with the elite. Jesus was not went to the, you know, the higher ups there. Jesus was always with the sinners and the taxpayers. So we see that he was not prejudiced. We see that Jesus had that open mind. So as Christians, sometimes I know it is a challenge for us sometimes because, you know, there's people that would come in our lives that we, you know, every time they'll need something, every time for lack of words, they'll bug you. You know what I mean? And you're like, I don't have time for this. But you know what? Do you know what? What happened is that person, yes, it probably might become a nuisance to me in my life. But what happened from the efforts that I do, from the many times that I help them, that something will click in their minds and say, you know what? There's some value what this person is doing for me. This person is interesting in me, is interested in me. It's not really just handing me a handout, but he's showing me or teaching me something that I need to know. See, we need, as Christians, we need to reflect that. See, Jesus demonstrated that in his life. See, Jesus demonstrated that in his life, and we read it throughout his walk here on earth. That he wasn't not with the elite, but he was with the poor, with the sinners, and he demonstrated mercy in the many things that he reflects in life. But you know what? Spending time with the people in need, maybe they will one day be like, you know what? The church there really is interested in me. See, I like whenever the church in general, whenever they did the clothes giveaway, and now that we're doing the coat giveaway, that's something. That tells us that we really care for the community. That tells us that we're open to the community, and that we're telling them a message that, you know, we want you here. We want to help you in whatever need. You know, that tells us that we are open to helping you. We are open to you know, doing things and helping you in many ways in your life. So, and that's good. As a church, you know, that's so important as a church. That is something big. Because, yeah, we might see it, yeah, we're doing this in the inside, but in the outside, that is a potential thing for us. That is a potential outreach. You know what I mean? It's sad to say some churches don't even want to do that. Some churches don't even, you know, want to bother with that because they consider it as secondary item or something that they don't want to deal with. But guess what? We are commanded to do that. We are, if we're building a character like Christ-like, we are commanded to go and help the needy. We are commanded to go and help them in many ways. So I am proud to be part of a church that is always open and willing and doing things and helping the community. I am proud to be part of this family. And that's something good because that tells us who we are and how we are as a family in Christ. And that's what we need to reflect, that we're not, you know, just throwing away or saying, you know, I don't need this person, go away, you know. But is important because it is reflected, you know, as characteristics of Christ, that we need to know, that we need to practice if we're doing that. Isaiah 11, 1 through 7 tells us what Christ, the prophet there, was given the characteristics of what the mercy of Christ and how Christ and how the message was going to be spread out, and how Christ, how his kingdom was going to be set up to be merciful and the righteousness, that it was not literally going to be something earthly that a man was going to decide what's going to, you know, what was happening, but exactly what Christ was doing with connected with God, that, you know, he was going to rule. He was gonna be the ruler of righteousness and of what man was doing, in the perfect, you know, he was going to be the perfect deliverer of the righteousness towards men. So we see that if Christ is in us, the hope of our glory, as Colossians 1:27 tells us, does. So the question is to you, church, the question is, does Christ live in you? Do I reflect what Christ wants me to do? Am I able to do these three characteristics that we have exposed, that we have talked about? If he does live, your life will reflect the above mentioned qualities in his life that his life possess. If our life does not possess these qualities, then Christ is not living in us, and then we need to auto-examine ourselves and see where we're at, at what point we're at. We need to see these qualities. Is not living in you. And if he is not living in you, who is our hope then? If he's not living in it, you know what I mean? Who's our hope of glory then? Where's our reward? Where's our promise that he gives us? So if these characteristics are not in us, we need to realize, you know, these are some things that we need to work on then. So our lives should reflect servitude, as Jesus did. Our lives should reflect mercy, and our lives should reflect victory over prejudice, being prejudiced. So three essential things that we can learn from Jesus Christ and the example that he set forth. And if I want to be a Christian, I need to exemplify that in him. I need to be radiant or exemplified in my, not here in the church, inside the church, but outside these walls. We need to exemplify that. We need to people know that, you know, those people live by what they preach or what they say or what they follow, what Christ tells them. If you're here and then you're a subject of the invitation, what you must do to be saved? Well, you just did the first part. Hear the word. We need to believe. You need to repent. You need to confess. You need to be baptized, and you need to live faithfully, as Revelation 2:10 tells us, to live faithfully to the end. See, all these elements are very important in acting all these elements. It's not just, you know, a couple of these and whatever I want to just, you know, take. No, all this needs to be present for you to be saved. And for you to start that new life in Christ. If you're subject to that, we encourage you to, as we just looked at the character of Christ, we just encourage you to do that and to follow and to start a new life today and to start that great walk with Jesus today, because we don't know what tomorrow would hold. We don't know what tomorrow would hold for us. So it is important for you to realize the importance of it, of that walk with Jesus as well. And if you've been a Christian and then you're deviated in your walk, make sure to consider and come back. Make sure that it's important for you to repent from of those things that you have done and continue that walk and live faithfully, as Revelation 2:10 tells us.